Thanks for listening to the Odd Couple podcast. Be sure to check us out live every weekday from 7 p.m. to 10 p.m. Eastern, 4 to 7 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Odd Couple at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
Now let's get this party started.
You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
It is the Odd Couple. I'm Chris Broussard alongside my partner,
Rob Parker.
And we are coming to you live from the Fox Sports Radio studios.
We'll do it live.
Keep it locked right here. It is a funky flashback Friday.
Woo-hoo!
That means 3 hours of fun. Enlightenment, information, inspiration, entertainment, and so on and so forth. Fox Sports Radio, the iHeartRadio app, or Sirius XM Channel 83, however you may be listening. Do not trust the brother. Do not touch that dial. And the huge story today, before I bring in Rob, is Damian Lillard, and we actually have Henry Abbott, the founder of True Hoop, Rob, and our colleague formerly at the old place, who broke the news that Damian Lillard in a few days is going to ask to be traded, and then Lillard said it wasn't true, and so it's a big hubbub. But Henry Abbott will join us at the bottom of this hour, so that's going to be a lot of fun. Let me welcome in my partner, Mr. Rob Parker. What up, brother?
What's happening? How are you on this Friday?
Hey, I'm always great on a Friday. As much as I love my job, I'm always great on a Friday.
As a sports writer, Friday never meant anything to me. You know what I mean?
Like, it didn't before, but does right. It now? To me, you're doing a lot of different things.
Right. No, but the difference is I get what you're saying, and because, you know, when you do a radio show, when you have 5 days a week, you know what I mean? Unlike our other jobs where we worked a lot, but it wasn't every day. It wasn't like we had to go somewhere every day or be ready every day.
Well,
and that is a big difference.
Every day was the same. Every Saturday was no different than Tuesday.
Right, right. That's
when
what I'm saying. Like
the baseball,
back then, right.
The
it didn't matter.
Yeah, every day was the same.
Like people would be like, oh, I can't wait for Friday. And I was like, what? What
right.
does that mean?
I mean, your days off might have been a Monday and a
Tuesday. A Monday and a Wednesday, exactly.
Right. So, but I'm off now. I'm literally entirely off on weekends because TV is just Monday through Friday at FS1 and obviously radio. And it's nice, man. I was telling my wife just last week, I was like, this is like the first time in my life or, you know, my adult life.
No,
that
right.
Weekends have entirely been free. Obviously, you know this, right? You're watching games and you still got to watch stuff and you might even talk to people. But it's nice. It's nice. So it's not totally like that for you, I guess, right?
No.
Since you're still writing. Do you write ever on weekends?
Sometimes, you know. Sometimes. But usually it's not bad.
You might do a Monday. Do you have certain days?
Yeah. So I usually do Sunday for Monday and then another column during the week.
Okay.
So Sundays I am writing. Not all the time. And then I do the video. So, you know, 3 days a week for Deadspin. And it's just enough.
Right.
It's perfect.
Right.
You know what I mean? Perfect.
Yep.
So
I get it. All right. We got the Odd Couple crew. Super producer Rob G in full effect. Of course, DJ Alex Teichert blowing the dust out of his hair because he's in those crates on a Funky Flashback Friday. And on the update, as he is every Friday, it's our man Steve DeSager. All right, Rob, I said it earlier, the big news, Damian Lillard. Okay, so I'm going to break it down, and then we'll hear from Lillard. But Henry Abbott, as we said, founder of True Hoop, tweets out that in a few days, a source has told him Damian Lillard is going to demand, whatever you want to call it, the Portland Trailblazers to trade him. Now, remember, he's got 4 years left on his deal, so it can't be a demand, obviously. He's got to ask him. But they feel the relationship is that strong where, you know, they'll do him a solid and all that. But anyway, I was told earlier in the day that the report, it wasn't going to happen, like that it wasn't true.
And that, then that he's not out. That he's not going to ask for a trade. So it was
yeah,
wrong.
They said it was just inaccurate. And so, you know, but Lillard came out today and addressed it after the Team USA practice. Here's what he said.
I'll start off the rip and say it's not true. I said the last time I spoke to you guys that a lot of things are being said and, you know, it hasn't come from me. So, number one, it's not true. And secondly, I'll also say that I haven't made any firm decision on, you know, what my future will be. So there's really no need.
First of all,
for
Rob, his last sentence, I haven't made any firm decision on my future, leaves the door open. And I've been told a few weeks ago that he's going to take some time and think about it and decide what he wants to do. And it appears that he's still doing that, right? He didn't say I made a firm decision that I'm coming back. Now, later on, he's asked all types of questions. He did say, I expect to be in a Blazers uniform next year. He even said, my goal is to play my entire career with the Blazers. But, Rob, if you listen to the press conference, he talked a lot about what is wrong with the Blazers, like what they need to do. He said the team doesn't look good enough where a new coach is going to make them a champion, and they're just not good enough, and the changes need to be made, and this and that. And here's what I say, Rob. And I get Dame's in a tough position because he wants to win. But you in this position, you have to be willing to be either Allen Iverson / Russell Westbrook, where while everyone else is trying to chase a ring and join a super team, you're willing to say, you know what? I want to win a championship as much as anybody in this league. But I love my team. I love my city. They've embraced me. This is my franchise, and I want to do it here. And if that means not winning the championship, so be it. But I'm going to go down swinging here. That's what Iverson and Westbrook did. Or you need to be willing to be James Harden or an Anthony Davis and be the bad guy and basically just force your way out. Now, Lillard does have 4 years left on his deal. So what I think will happen, Rob, I think he's going to play one more year at least in Portland, give Billups a chance, see if there's any changes, see if they can make any moves that he likes or that make them better. And then if they don't go any further next year, that's when I think he will probably have to come out and be like, I've had enough. It's time for me to move on.
Yeah, I feel bad that it's just weird to me, considering what we're seeing right now with Giannis and Milwaukee staying, bucking the trend, not joining anybody else, and he's on the verge, on the cusp, you know, two wins away from potentially winning a championship in small market Milwaukee.
You
without
could even
a super,
mention Chris Paul, Rob.
Without a super team, huh?
You could even mention Chris Paul. I mean,
what?
That's not a super team. Phoenix.
No, not at all. That's a good point. That's not. It's a young team that was put together through
the draft
and whatnot.
Last year. Yeah.
Exactly. So, you know, on one side, it just to me, this seems weird to me. If this was Brooklyn against the Lakers or something, then maybe I'd be like, and I'm not saying that Brooklyn ain't going to be there next year or the Clippers or whoever, Chris. You know what I mean?
Right.
But it ain't impossible. And, you know, when you don't make that commitment, this is what's going to happen. People are going to keep throwing stuff out until you really make a commitment. And it doesn't mean anything, even if you were to say, my plan is to stay here. I want to win here. That's my plan. That's what I'm going to do. And we'll go from there. That's all you can say. I remember when Kyrie said he'll stay in Boston if they want me or if they'll have me.
Right.
I didn't take that, Chris, as he wasn't going nowhere. I didn't. The only way you really do that is if you sign a contract and say you're not going anywhere. Other than that, all bets are off. Would you agree with me? I mean, at any point,
yeah,
you could force your way out.
When you look, it's not the end of the world. Nobody holds it against Kyrie or anything. But when you come out and say, I want to stay here, if they'll have me, I mean, it seems like those are the intentions that you want to stay. Now,
yeah.
A lot. Yep. That was a year early, so a lot can happen. That's the thing.
They didn't play well.
They didn't go further in the playoffs. You know what I'm saying? So much happened that it was like, okay, you kind of get it, right?
Yeah, I never thought like he was firmly committed to Boston. I didn't, despite.
Well, he also talked about it. His dad played there. Remember that? I mean, he did throw it on a little thick at times.
No, I'm just saying.
Dad was Boston University.
But it's not until you really sign a deal, you know what I mean, and really make that, it's still open for debate. That's all I'm saying. But it's all good. So Damian Lillard, I'm sure he feels he's in a tight spot. He's made some mistakes, too, when he endorsed Jason Kidd out in public. You don't do that. I mean, you just don't. Because if you don't get the guy, you know what I mean? Now Chauncey's in there. I just think you have to be very careful than to just go out publicly. The same thing. You don't need to undress the team and tell everybody, we can't do this,
well,
we don't have
thing.
That. It's bad,
right?
Chris. Am I it's right?
Tough.
It's bad for business.
Dame's been a great leader. Everybody loves him, all the players. But you're basically saying these cats ain't good enough.
Right.
And you saw, Rob, in Houston, I mean, DeMarcus Cousins was ticked off with James Harden. You know what I'm saying? Like, you were basically saying, I'm John Wall. I've been a multiple-year All-Star. I'm DeMarcus Cousins. I was one of the best players in the league at one point. And you basically saying, we ain't good enough. And it's tough. And so, you know, I don't think it'll be a problem in Portland. But it could be, possibly.
It's just
that's
not,
what you're saying when you say, right? I mean.
Right. It's not a good look. That's really what it is. And you got to be real careful. You don't know what can happen and what path can open up for you and what player could develop, Chris, and blossom out of nowhere. You know what I mean? And have a year where you go, wow. I mean, you know, the Suns didn't make the playoffs last year. Right?
Thank you.
I mean, let's just be honest. So
let's keep it real. Did anybody think that Golden State team was going to become what they became?
No, not
Klay
at the
Thompson's
time.
Klay Thompson's a late lottery pick, right?
Not at the Steph, time, I
seventh
agree.
Pick?
No.
Yeah, Draymond's a second-round pick. You just got to make it happen. And here's the other thing. Like, Dame is great. But there's a real question, because I think if Dame does go somewhere else, he still wants to be the man. Is he good enough to lead a team to a championship? Like, be the best player on that team? Because, Rob, Chris Paul is seeking to become only the third small player ever to lead a team to a championship. He would join Isaiah Thomas and Steph Curry. And that's it. Of all the other great small players, none led a team to a title. Dame Lillard is what, 6'2"? I mean, that's a legit question. And we know, Rob, I mean, I don't know where you're at on this. He's a first ballot Hall of Famer to me. But he has had his troubles at times in the playoffs. His shooting percentage goes way down in the playoffs.
Right.
Yeah, you know?
I'm at the point where I don't know if it's all about him. I get he's a star player, but right. Ultimately, it might be about somebody else coming in and adding the missing point. We saw last year when he was unbelievable in overtime, remember, knocking down those threes in that game. But they wound up losing despite all that. So I get it. I'm with you. He's a great player. I don't know if he's enough. Like Isaiah, when Isaiah led the Pistons to – championships, and they had a great supporting cast. I'm not knocking anybody, but no other top 50 player. That's just a fact, right? That's just a fact.
Absolutely. You know what else, Rob? I'm looking at the playoffs this year. They lost to Denver without Jamal Murray. All right. It was Jokic and his guys versus Dame and his guys. And in Damian was great. He had a 55-10 game, a 42-10 game, a 34-13 game. Guess what, Rob? Those were his three highest scoring games.
And they lost all those games.
I'm sorry, a 37-5 game. Yeah, his highest scoring games, 55, 42, 37. You said it. Lost every single one of those games.
Right. That's what I'm saying.
Won one game when he scored 10.
Right. And I remember, there was, when they, two years ago, Chris, when they were in the, when they got to the Western Conference Finals, right? That was 2 years ago, right before the bubble.
State.
Before
when
the bubble.
Golden
right?
State.
And I remember in that game seven, he didn't have a good game, and they won and got, you know what I mean?
The conference. Oh, you might be talking about.
Right. I'm talking about game seven to get to the Western Conference Finals.
You're absolutely right.
They made it, and he didn't play that well in that game.
He had 13 on 3 of 17 shoots.
There you go. That's what I'm saying.
They
still
won.
Yep.
So that shows you, I mean, and Dame, look, he getting 10 assists, 13 assists, but some of it is he's ball dominant. And that can be, even though you're putting up huge stats, you still may not be getting everybody involved and everybody's a part of, like, and that's one thing. If I'm Chauncey, Rob, I'm trying to come in and put in, like, a five-man system. Because I just think that's better than a one- or two-man system.
And Chauncey knows it because he played on a team that won a championship doing that. Where it was different people every night. And they were, you know, stars in their own right, but it wasn't, you know what I mean.
Those were blue chip talent. I mean, Chauncey obviously was one of the best high school players in the country.
Right,
no,
but
I'm backing you up.
Right, right.
He was a high lottery pick. Was he the third pick in the draft, I think?
Yeah, he was.
Rashid was an All-American and a top lottery pick. And then you had Rip Hamilton was a star in college. Like,
won a championship at UConn, right?
They were big-time talents. So, all right. We're going to throw it out to you, 877-99 on Fox, 877-996-6369. Should Dame Lillard force a trade out of Portland or not? We'll continue the conversation with you next. It's Chris and Rob, The Odd Couple, Fox Sports Radio.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Odd Couple with Chris Broussard and Rob Parker, weekdays at 7 p.m. Eastern, 4 p.m. Pacific, on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
Hey, I'm John Middlecoff, and I host the 3 and Out podcast. Do you like football? Do you like the NFL? Do you like the NFL draft? Quarterbacks, coaches? Well, I talk about it all on the show. I used to work for Andy Reid as a scout. Now I give you my unfiltered and raw opinions on everything that goes on in the NFL. And you know we're talking college football because of how important the draft is year-round. Listen to the 3 and Out podcast with me, John Middlecoff, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, it is the Odd Couple, Chris and Rob, on a Funky Flashback Friday. We up in here in Funky Town, coming to you live from the Fox Sports Radio studios. And Rob, while before Damian Lillard came out and snuffed out the report, and we'll have the author of that report, Henry Abbott, joining us in about 5, 6, 7 minutes. But there were all types of, like, there were reports that the Knicks were on his list. I think, was there a report, Rob G? The Lakers? The Knicks and the Sixers was the report. The Knicks and the Sixers. Now, Lakers fans, I don't think the Lakers can get him.
That's all they talk about, you know,
right?
That. Anything for LeBron. Oh, yeah, get Damian Lillard. Oh, yeah, get so-and-so. Right.
Because, one, I don't even think Dame is sold on the super team concept anyway. So him wanting to go and play with LeBron and AD, I mean, yeah, he wants to win, but I don't know. I don't see that. Not to mention, Rob, the only way it would happen is if Damian demanded a trade and said, that's the only team I'll play for. And even then, the Blazers would basically have to capitulate and take what I think would have to be a lesser deal from the Lakers to do it.
Right.
So there's no way that's happening. He got 4 years left on his deal. Then the Knicks, the thinking with the Knicks, Rob, is that Dame still wants his own team. As good as Julius Randle was this year, obviously he's not Damian Lillard. And so you'd have Dame, right. You'd have Dame as the number one guy. Julius is there. And then they'd have enough cap room to go out and get another star. Here's the thing to me, though, Rob. If I'm Damian Lillard, and I like what they did in New York this year. Okay, nice little thing. But if I'm Damian Lillard and I go from Portland to New York, at best, that's a lateral move. Right. And I don't even know if it's a lateral move. You know what I'm saying?
You might be going the other way, especially with the East and some of the teams. Yes. You know what I mean? Like really? You would look at that and go, oh, yeah, we got a chance to get past Brooklyn if they're healthy.
right. Me and Julius Randle.
Right. And we'll be able to get past Giannis and them. And then maybe they might even have a championship in their back pocket.
And if they do, you know they're going to be that much more confident.
Right. That's what I'm saying.
Better. Right. Right. And that's not to mention Philly. And somebody, Boston, some of the other teams out there, Atlanta, obviously now. But here's what, Rob, if Dame Lillard really does one out, and if he really says, goes to Portland and tells them this summer at some point, trade me, to me, Rob, the one place he should be looking to go is Philadelphia. That's the one place he should be looking to go. And you can say, look, you guys can get Ben Simmons. Look, if I'm Philly, I'll give you Ben. I'll give you Seth Curry. Seth's a really good shooter. You know, he averaged 19 points in the playoffs. I mean, maybe he's coming into his own. I'll throw in Tyrese Maxey. And he's a good young player. I was talking to an executive for another team today, Rob. He said if Damian Lillard went to Philly, this is a guy in the East, he said they'd be right there in the championship mix. And I agree with Lillard and Embiid, don't you think?
Yeah. Well, yeah, because you would have what you're looking for, which is a guy who can shoot, right? And then you'd have to pick your poison, Chris.
Right.
Right? With Embiid, who can do stuff. Obviously, he's a shooter from the perimeter as well, but he's almost unstoppable, you know, in the paint, yep, and the guarded area and the restricted area. So you would have both things that you need.
And you'd still have Tobias Harris as your third guy. I mean, Philly's got to try to make that happen. I don't know how Dame feels about that.
Now, would Doc be in the trade? No, Doc wouldn't be in the trade. Doc.
Doc Chauncey.
If you were Philadelphia, we'd make that.
I'd do that. If I'm Philly, Doc Chauncey, would you do that? Obviously, Chauncey comes. I would do it.
I would do it.
All right. We got our man Henry Abbott coming up in a few moments. But first,
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.
We're the Odd Couple coming to you live from the Fox Sports Radio studios. Our next guest is a former colleague of Rob and mine. Great guy, man. Loves basketball. Does a great job of covering it.
Especially when he gets it right.
There.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Hey, he's the founder of True Hoop. Our man, Henry Abbott. Henry, what's up, brother?
Henry, what's happening?
How are you guys? What's going on?
Hey, good, man. You gave TV and radio shows plenty of fodder today. Thank you.
and you heard what I said, you know, when he's getting it right, because you know how it is. When you break news, there's like a million people always trying to tell you you don't have it, you know?
Right.
Oh, it's
right.
It's such a hairy game, right?
It is.
Part of me is like, okay, what would you rather I do? I wasn't even chasing this story, but like I learned something, right? I learned something that matters tremendously to NBA fans. Like, okay, I have two choices. I can write the story or I can not write the story. Like,
you're a reporter.
You sure
you're going to write it.
Absolutely.
You're going to write it. No matter what. You know what? People push back all the time.
I know.
Man, I've had stories rock solid from people. And then you hear other people like, oh, that's not true. I don't know where you got that from or whatever. And you know you got it. You got it.
Right.
Moments where, quietly someone tells me X, Y, and Z, blah, 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 you know. Good to go, run with it, rock solid. I check it out, blah, blah, blah. I report it. And then that same person is on TV being like, this is outrageous. I don't know
where, right, I don't know where that came from, right?
is amazing. That is the truth, man.
I just want to say this, Chris. And for the people out there, did you hear what he said? He said, Henry said, that he got it and he checked it out. He didn't just roll with it. You know what I mean? From one person. You got to right. check. No matter who tells you, you need to check around. So everybody who thinks that reporters are just throwing stuff out there, it's not true.
I've been saying this for, 15 years. I think every single one of us should have a batting average after our bye line. It should say Henry Abbott.
I like
and
that.
And I'm pretty proud to say, I think it would say 97%. It's not 100%, but it's 90. And then if it's 32%, just take it as you will. It's fine. But like I'm like the record is the reason is the way that you know that I'm not just making this crap up. Right. Like,
so what do you, I mean, you saw the press conference, Damian Lillard denying it and all that. So where do you, like, what do you make of that? Like, what do you say to all that?
I mean, if I'm going to, like, I respect the holiday, Dame. Damian Lillard is so important to my family that there was a moment this spring when my daughter was checking her phone and got the news that she got into the college that she's going to attend. It's a life-changing moment, but my wife didn't hear it because she was tuning out everyone to listen to Damian Lillard's post-game talk.
Wow.
like we respect him at our house, yes. Right? Like as a man, as a worker, as a basketball player in every way. Like, okay. But if I'm going to be mean to Dame, I would say that he's like, no, it's not true that I'm going to ask for a trade request, but instead I'm not going to not ask for a trade request.
Right.
Right? Like, okay, right. Okay, if that's important to you, like, let's say it that way, then fine. Like, very good. Like, what happened, but, you know, let's see how the next few weeks play out.
Go ahead, Rob.
I'm just going to say I'm happy for your daughter going to Southern Connecticut State University. That would be life-changing for her.
What if she was really going there?
Well, that's my alma mater, so I'm just saying.
So, Henry, because you're right. I mean, you listen to the press conference with Lillard, and after he denies it, I mean, he's making demands that just, I mean, are they don't even seem reasonable. Like, we got to make changes to get better. What can they even do to meet his desires? You know what I'm saying? Like, realistically, what's out there? So how do you think this thing plays out? Like, let's say 2 months from now, where is Damian Lillard? Or at least some of the possible places you think?
One thing that's a very real possibility is that, you know, he's with LeBron and the Space Jam crew, and he's with Team USA, and there have been a lot of players of Dame's caliber have assembled super teams, right? And
right.
He would like to assemble a super team, and they haven't done that, and there are various reasons why. And I'm sure he's walked into Neil Olshey's office 100 times and said, this guy wants to play here, let's get it done, and it hasn't happened, right? That's just life. It might be a little bit because Neil Olshey is particularly attached to the players he drafted, right? This is one of the things I'm hearing is like, you know, if you could have moved C.J. McCollum for somebody, they didn't because he's a Neil Olshey guy, right? That's one of the things I've heard. But so now he's saying that basically, like, he's withholding his full endorsement. He's not 100% like, I'll be there fighting right to the death with these guys, right? So that is it's not exactly saying to trade me, but it's withholding your services like Steve Francis, he's drafted by the team in Canada or whatever, right? Like,
right.
So
Vancouver.
I think there's like this, this is the leverage you have, right? Is the trade demand.
He made no commitment to them whatsoever. No commitment.
Except when
whatsoever.
He signed the contract, right?
Right. Of course. Well, that's guaranteed cheddar. Of course he's going to make that commitment.
Let's go there, Henry. This isn't Anthony Davis or James Harden with a year and a half, two years left on the deal. This is 4 years left.
Right.
What do you think the chances are that Neil Olshey is like, look, Dame, we love you. We're not trading you. I mean, we're not. And what could he do? He'd have to play.
Yeah, so this is where I think there's a weird – I think he – and his camp have cleverly assessed that there's a little bit of extra leverage here, which is Jody Allen. Well, it depends who you ask, but like plenty of people think Jody Allen's going to sell the team soon.
Right.
And so, you know, it needs to look valuable and together and contending to get top dollar. Right. And so disgruntled Dame doesn't help the sales value. And also the next owner doesn't want to spend $2 billion or whatever and come in and then rip like the city's heart out by trading him then, right? So I think it needs to be settled before the team can sell for top dollar. Some people tell me they're not going to sell it. I don't know. Lots of people think they are going to sell it. And there's something about Paul Allen's will has some clause that after a certain amount of time, the team isn't making money, it has to be sold. And I don't know if that's activated yet or at all, but it's real. So I think there's a little pressure around the perception of the team, and that's where Dame can turn the screws a little bit.
Do you have any idea where he might want to go? I mean, we've heard Knicks, Philadelphia, the Lakers, which seems completely unrealistic. But are you hearing any of that stuff, like where he might want to go?
So this is a frustrating position for me to be in. I'm going to try to write a follow-up soon about this question you're asking. I did hear from a great source that there is one team, which is a bummer because it's like, well, which one? I don't know the answer to that.
Right.
The guesses that I've heard are basically Lakers or Knicks. I don't know how either one could have the best offer, though. I mean,
absolutely,
honestly, like, the Knicks are like, yeah, we'll send you Obi Toppin. And, like, there's just no way that's going to be the best offer. You know
if I'm him, I'm trying to go to Philly.
That's what I'm saying. I totally agree. I really think that they would win a championship. Like, I think Joel Embiid and Damian Lillard is perfect.
They'd be right there. There's no doubt about that. They would be right there.
This is the other thing that's a little surprising with this, and I get it, but we're watching the Phoenix Suns, who didn't even make the playoffs of last year without a super team, and we're watching a small market Milwaukee with Giannis, who got ripped for staying there, right, and not joining other people, and they're in a championship. Giannis is two wins away. This is weird for me that this is what makes him feel like he needs to go somewhere else to win.
Well, I mean,
does that make
it
sense?
Hasn't worked where he is, right? I mean, I'm a Blazers fan. Don't get me wrong. I think there's a lot of value, and the Blazers haven't been terrible, right? They've been in the playoffs almost every year.
No, they've been a good team, right?
Like, yeah, they could be kind of like the Mavericks, where you hang around for a decade, and then you suddenly win one. Like, that could happen,
right?
But yeah, their defense is terrible, right? And partially it's terrible because of Dame. I hate to say it, but like he's, you know, he's part of the problem there too. And actually, one guy I was on the phone with today was like, oh, you want to pick your coach? Like, in my experience, every time players pick a coach who doesn't make them play defense.
You know, exactly. And I would think that's one thing Chauncey tries to instill.
Yeah.
I said this earlier, Henry. Chris Paul is seeking to become only the third small player ever to lead his team to a championship. Isaiah Thomas, Steph Curry, Chris Paul. Is Dame, who's 6'2", he's small, is he good enough to lead a team to a championship? Like, be the best player on a championship team?
It's very hard to be small and 31.
Yes.
Right? Like, it's a little different
thing.
When you're 24, being small isn't quite so crazy. But yeah, this is, I mean, I watch a lot of that guy playing basketball, and it's been taxing on him these last few years, right? Like, he left the bubble with two injuries. And this season, when CJ was out, there was a period where he played tons of minutes. And like, then he had to take a week off because he was just exhausted, right? Like, I think when you're that small, your 80% effort night is worth nothing. Right, you don't have those like standstill bucket, put back, whatever. Like, you got to work for everything. So yeah, I think it's a real. I mean, if you're Neil Olshey, I think, or whoever runs the Blazers this time next week, like I think you have to really think about like how is he going to age? Like it's going to be hard.
Yep. All right. Well, Henry, great stuff, man. Great job today.
Appreciate it.
All right.
And
thanks,
stay on top of this, man. I know you will. Have a good weekend,
safe
brother.
Safe travels tonight, Rob.
Yes. Thank you. Appreciate it.
All right, man. Broussard's Fab Five is next. Keep it locked. iCouple, Fox Sports Radio.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.
It is the iCouple. Chris Broussard, Rob Parker. We're coming to you live from the Fox Sports Radio studios. And it is time for Broussard's Fab Five.
Are you ready?
Hope you can take the heat like LeBron.
We're going big.
It's go time.
It's Broussard's Fab Five. Five.
All right, this week's Fab Five is inspired by the great block shot, the historic block shot by Giannis Antetokounmpo in game four of the NBA Finals against Milwaukee. A lot of people are saying it was an iconic shot. So that got a brother to thinking, what are the five most iconic moments in NBA Finals history? Not necessarily the greatest moments or the most impactful moments, but the five most iconic. Like, they are drilled into our brain in our culture. They have cultural impact and life. Here we go.
Number five.
Ray Allen's shot. The three-pointer from the corner, 2013. Game six of the NBA Finals. Miami down 3-2 to San Antonio. It was over. It was so over that the fans in Miami were leaving, streaming out the building. The yellow tape, security tape to keep the fans off the floor to celebrate was around the court. LeBron James takes a three with about 9 seconds left. Chris Bosh grabs the rebound, kicks it out to Ray Allen, who's backpedaling in the right corner, making sure he's behind the three-point line, puts up the J, swish, ties the ball game with 5 seconds left. The Heat win in overtime and then go on to win game seven and a championship.
Number four.
Dr. J's reverse layup, 1980. That's right. We're going back 41 years. Game four, NBA Finals against Rob G's L.A. Lakers. Doc's on the right wing, drives against Mark's Landsberger, goes up underneath the basket, well, from one side of the basket, has the ball in his right hand, out of bounds. He's in the air, but out of bounds. Kareem comes over to contest, and Doc flies over to the other side of the rim or the basket and lays up a beautiful reverse layup. One of the most iconic shots in NBA history, not just the finals.
Number three.
The junior skyhook. That's the quote from Magic Johnson. That's what he called it. 1987 game four against the Boston Celtics. Lakers up 2-1, Boston ahead 106-105. Magic himself told me he was a third option on this play. James Worthy was the first. Kareem was the second in the post. But Magic gets the inbound pass. Nothing else is there. Drives against Kevin McHale. Puts up the junior skyhook, which, of course, he learned from Kareem. It's like a running skyhook. Sinks it. They win the game 3-1, going to win the series. The rest is history.
Number two,
LeBron James's block shot. The chase down, yes, the greatest block shot in NBA Finals history, in league history as far as I'm concerned. Game seven, folks, tied at 89. Andre Iguodala moving in for a layup on the break. LeBron flies down like the wide receiver used to be and blocks the shot just before it hits the backboard where it would have been goaltending. Few moments later, Kyrie Irving hits the game-winning three-point shot.
Number one.
You know what it is. It took place in Utah. Game six, 1998 NBA Finals. It starts this way. Karl Malone, one of the best power forwards in the league, has the ball in the post on the low block. Michael Jordan comes out of nowhere, slaps the ball away from Malone, and now he's got time to do his thing. He takes it up court. He sees, he sets up, he sizes up Brian Russell, and then Byron Russell pushes off. It was an offensive foul, but hey, they didn't call it, so no call, no foul, and sinks the game-winning 17-foot jump shot, holds the poles with his hand, too. That was Michael Jordan's last playoff game. Many wish it would have been his last game, period. Of course, he came back for Washington. But those are the fabulous five most iconic moments in NBA Finals history. Keep it locked.